1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I want you to hold your hand there, and I'm going to ask you to go over to Hebrews chapter 6 as well, and we'll find that, and put your bookmark in Hebrews chapter 6. Take it down just a little bit there. We're trying to get this sound system, the microphone, this lapel mic is not responding properly, and so Brother Mike is trying to figure out what is going to be the best setting, and so please pardon us as we kind of work through that. All right, your hand or bookmark is there in Hebrews 6. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and stand with me if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, look, if you will, at verse number 9, 10, and 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Man, praise the Lord. I'm going to have you hold your hand there. Go over to Hebrews 6 and look at a couple of verses. I'm going to read verse number 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Now, my message isn't about those verses right there, but I'll promise you this. You cannot lose your salvation. Once you have been saved scripturally, there is nothing that you can do that would be worthy of you losing your salvation. If I couldn't do anything to gain my salvation, I certainly cannot do anything in which I can lose it. But we're going to read on, verse number 7. "For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected." Remember that, dear Christian. That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. There's a reason that God put every word in the Bible. Amen? He's not trying to teach us that if someone goes out to harvest the fruits and vegetables, that if he gets pricked by a thorn, he cuts it down and throws it into the stack. Everyone knows that. No one's going out to gather up the thorns and the thistles, hoping to put them together into some kind of a soup and eat it. It stands to reason that those things are going to be rejected for food, but God is talking about our spiritual lives here. So that which beareth thorns, verse 8, and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Watch verse number 9. "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." Tonight, very simple title, "Faulty Foundations Finally Fail." It's going to be a short service, I promise you that. Because on purpose, I want to make a brief message here this evening. Faulty foundations finally fail. I want you to listen here this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank you for what you've given to us in Scripture. Lord, I pray in the brevity of the message, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that, Lord, we must make certain that our foundations, Lord, are secure. I'm thankful for the foundation of salvation. Lord, no other foundation can be laid. Dear Lord, there is no other way to get to heaven but through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to see and to understand as we build our building upon that foundation, dear Lord, things can begin to be rickety. Things can begin to weaken. And Lord, I pray that we would not have that, Lord, because we certainly know the demise. Lord, the foundations will fail if they're faulty. Bless our time together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll have you be seated. Now, as we go back over to 1 Corinthians, if you will, and look at verse number 9. "We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." So the scenario is being set before us, something that we can grasp a hold of, an understanding that God's giving to us of a simple building structure where you have the foundation that is going to be laid. And of course, oftentimes we see a concrete, a cement foundation that is laid, and then on top of that, they'll set at certain intervals, they'll put a bolt that is cemented down into the, or that is secured down into the cement, that you can lay then your base plate, as they call it, along there, and tighten that down and build upon that. It might be that you're creating a foundation such as is out in the foyer, and it's a little bit elevated, and there are pylons underneath, and some kind of a foundation that would be set down into the ground, into the earth. I think about when we removed the fence that stretched all the way across the front of our property here about a year and a half ago, and as we had the crane that was demolishing this particular section of the building, I said, listen, I'm going to have you take the foundation away for this fence. Now, it was a simple little fence. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't 10 feet high. It stood about 4 feet high, and every now and then there was a brick pillar, and it wasn't even wrought iron. It looked like wrought iron. It was an aluminum fence. It was made to look like wrought iron. What I'm saying, it was very lightweight. It wasn't a heavy-duty fence, but when they began taking up the foundation for that little fence, the foundation was a foot deep below the ground. Actually, it was a foot deep below the cinder block that was below the ground. I thought to myself, how in the world, why would they lay such an extreme foundation for such a little fence? But you understand, that fence wasn't moving, it wasn't going anywhere. The foundation is still there underneath the sidewalk now. But that foundation wasn't moving anywhere. It was set. It was settled. And praise the Lord, that's how our foundation should be. Now, if you know Christ is your Savior, your foundation is secure. It will never move. There is nothing that can shake it. Amen? I'm afraid you've fallen asleep. You had too much dirt cake. How many of you had dirt cake? How many of you said, I don't eat dirt, so I'm not eating dirt cake? How many of you had dirt cake? Wish you didn't have dirt cake. Man, that stuff is rich. Listen, we have a foundation that is laid. And we're being compared here to a building. Something that we can get our minds around. At verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, I thank the Lord for the foundation of Jesus Christ. As a servant of God, we are God's building. That's how we're compared in this particular passage. We are a building that the wise master builder has laid the foundation. The wise master builder is the foundation. When we read over in Hebrews chapter 6, we see that a good foundation does never need to be laid the second time. Amen. A good foundation doesn't have to be put down a second time. A faulty one is going to have to be repaired. A faulty one may have to be ripped up and laid down again. You see, a faulty foundation, scripturally speaking, would be someone perhaps that you were raised in a Roman Catholic church. Maybe you were raised in a Mormon church. Maybe you were raised in a lukewarm Baptist church such as I was. I thank the Lord for the man that led me to Christ. But I don't know that there were many people that were ever told how to go to heaven in that little lukewarm Baptist church that I was raised in. See, there's a faulty foundation when you don't have the foundation, the security of knowing that you're saved. There's a faulty foundation. So what happens? It has to be ripped up and it has to be laid again. Someone has to take a Bible and say, wait a minute. You believe that you're going to go to heaven because you took the Eucharist every single week and you received the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the wafer and the wine. Well, listen, that foundation has to be ripped up and another one has to be laid in its place. Because it's a faulty foundation. If you were raised in a lukewarm Baptist church such as I, then you would maybe hear the preacher get up and talk about how wonderful God is, which He is, praise the Lord. How wonderful He is to us, which He is, praise the Lord. How good God's Word is, and it is. Amen. However many times, they don't even know if they have the Word of God. Amen. They have no idea if they even hold the Bible in their hands. Because they say, well, it's perfect in the originals. Man, praise the Lord, I have a Bible in my hand. Amen? Amen? So you say, well, I was raised in a church other than what Scripture teaches. The foundation is ripped up and a new one is laid. But once that firm foundation of salvation is laid, praise the Lord, nothing ever has to be, it doesn't have to be repeated. It doesn't have to be laid again. And I'm thankful for it. And we see that as we read over in chapter number 6 of Hebrews. I think back to several years ago when we had started a church in Sacramento, and we were looking at this particular point. I've given this illustration before, some of you may recall. As we were looking for a place to call home, we were renting the Carmichael Civic Theater right there at the corner of Robertson and Manzanita, and this theater was used as a practice place. If you kind of imagine like a Broadway type of a show and little ballerinas out there and things like that, they would use this facility as a practice place for that. And so we would go in every Sunday morning early. My wife and I would get there. My pastor, who of course was my brother, and his wife would get there. And we would go in early and we would cover up all of the pictures that couldn't be taken down. We would tack up things covering all of the indecent pictures. Those that we could take down, we'd take them down and we'd set them over to the side to where as you walk down this very dark black hallway and you open up into the auditorium that had black seats. It had a thick black curtain behind the stage. I mean, I'm surprised anyone ever came and got saved in that place. You walk in, you think, man, is this Satan worshiping or what? Everything was black. But we were looking for a new building. We were trying to find where is it that God wants us to be permanently. And I remember my pastor was driving around and he called me up one day. He said, hey, listen, Meredith, I want to come pick you up. I want you to see a building. And so we went over and we started walking around this building. All the way around this building, cyclone fencing had been put up. At one time it was a Mormon church. And it was completely out of business, defunct. Praise the Lord. And so there's this building sitting there, and as I say, all the fence all the way around it, and we walked around it, and we thought, why in the world is this beautiful, beautiful? If you've ever seen a Mormon tabernacle, or temple, I guess they call it, they're made beautifully. And we walked thinking, why in the world? And so my brother finally got a hold of whoever owned the property, and he was told the story. As they built that particular edifice, the contractor chose not to do it correctly. The walls were supposed to be filled from, they were a cinder block wall. And the walls were supposed to be filled from the bottom all the way to the top with cement. They were supposed to be solid. It was supposed to be sound. They had everything done. The entire inside was done. Everything was painted. Every light fixture was in its place. And they shut it down and vacated it. And now it was up for sale, only to be demolished. When my brother started prying, what happened? What's up with that building? He was told the contractor was a crook. The contractor had taken only the last foot and a half, if I remember right, and they had capped underneath of that, and they had filled only that last foot and foot and a half to save on expenses. Of course, the contractor, I am sure, didn't pass those expenses on. He led them to believe that it was all done. And so the inspector came, and as they would walk around and they would still see that every cinder block was filled to capacity, they signed off on it only to find after everything was done. I don't know how they did, but they figured out that the thing was not built properly. They had to demolish it. They had to tear it down. You see, that's sometimes what I worry about as far as the Christian who doesn't have the right kind of a life. The foundation itself was secure in that building. The foundation didn't have to be demolished. I have no idea what was ever built in its place. I never went back over there. And so I don't know if they tore it down, but the foundation didn't have to be destroyed. The foundation in your life may be secure. It might be salvation. Praise the Lord. But you may have built upon that something that is shaky, something that is crooked. Amen. Something that is not right. You see, if your foundations only look good on the surface, you're a crook. If the building of your life is hollow on the inside, you're a crook. If the walls in your heart are full of the mold of the world, I promise you this, you're in danger of poisoning everyone around you. Amen. Because you've allowed the world to infect you. And you'll infect others. Brother Clark this morning sent me a text message. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm getting sick. And he described for me how he was getting sick and I could tell that this isn't good. And he said, he sent me a text. He said, should I come to church anyway? And I said, as much as I would like to say yes, I think the safety is in no. I've had different ladies throughout the years. They say, "Well, should I bring my little Johnny to church? He's got green goo coming out of his nose." As much as I would love for you to be in church, stay home with little Johnny. Amen. We don't need someone coming in and bringing that sickness into our nursery. Then only to be spread throughout the auditorium. Oh, there are times, and listen, I understand that there are times that you're physically, you're contagious. You don't feel well. By the way, runny noses aren't contagious. Amen, preacher. Yeah, sore throats aren't contagious. Come on now, preach it. I think that sometimes we can just decide to go to church anyway. Amen. I'll amen my own self. Listen, let's not get carried away with sickness. But what I'm trying to get at, if you've been infected by the world, you're going to infect those around you. You're going to infect everyone around you. Now to get to the point, to get finished with the message, because I know you're all saying, I thought you're going to be short. What do we need, preacher? What do we need? Well, I'll tell you what we don't need, followed by what we do need. We don't need an example to show me how to get to heaven. What I do need is a Savior who can have me live forever. Amen? I need more than just an example. I need a Savior. I don't need another church member. The Lord doesn't need another church member willing to simply hold down a pew. But what we need is another soul winner willing to tell others about Christ and make them members who are willing to hold down a pew. Amen. 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 And we'll teach them the same. Oh, listen, we don't need another voice. We need another verse from the Bible. I don't need another teenager ruined by this world. We need another David who were willing to fight the Goliaths of their life. We don't need another movie star wrecking homes and families along our world. But we need another wise star turning many to righteousness forever and ever, as it tells us in Daniel chapter 12. We don't need another professional baseball player making $3 billion a year. We need another Billy Sunday who is willing to give up fame and wealth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, we don't need another tax collector who is willing to come and take our hard-earned money, but we do need another Matthew who left all to follow Christ. I don't need another Navy sailor that's going to give his entire life to the military, and I'm in favor of the military. But listen, let the Methodists have the military. Let the Mormons have the military. Let the Jehovah's Witness have the military. Let our Independent Fundamental Baptist Church have some preachers. Amen. Amen. We don't need another sailor. I thank the Lord that Brother Seferati, as a sailor man, has a desire to serve God with every fiber in his being. That's what we need. We don't need another police officer. And I thank God for our police officers. But what we need are some men that are willing to serve full time for the Lord. I don't need another peace treaty. We need the peace that passeth all understanding. We don't need another foreign policy. We need another bus route reaching the lost in our homeland. We don't need another president. Yeah, we do. We don't need another Nadab and Abihu who are willing to use strange fire to do God's work. We need another Moses and another Aaron being used by God to free those who are in bondage. We don't need more life insurance. We need more life assurance. I need another ooey gooey rich and chewy Christian. We need just a simple Nilla wafer who will not compromise to the world standards. Amen. We don't need another person to put their hand to the plow and then look back. We need another person to put their hand to the plow and not stop till Jesus comes. We don't need we don't need more answers. We need the answer. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. I don't need another Jim Baker. I need another John the Baptist. The Lord doesn't need us to have more conventions telling us how good we are. We need more convictions telling us how good God is and how he wants us to be. I don't need another message different than one of the Bible. We need another revival to stir us for the work of the Lord. What we need is a good old-fashioned, heaven-sent, blood-washed, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, sin-hating, devil-chasing revival. That's what our churches need. We read these verses here. We see the building that God has built, the foundation that has been set, that we are now supposed to build upon that foundation. We realize that over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 9, that there are things that accompany salvation. How much company do you have in your salvation? What is it that shows to someone else that individual is different than I? That individual is different than every other church-going person that I know. Are you going to be the one that they say? Are you going to be the one that that one coworker says to the other coworker, "Well, you tell me that you go to church, but so does so-and-so. Why are you any different than so-and-so? I watched her at the last manager's meeting, a beer in both hands, and you tell me that I'm supposed to be like you?" Well, she would say the same thing. I'm giving you a real-life example, as it was said to me. I can't answer for that dear lady. I asked her about her salvation, Mrs. Beer in both hands. I asked her about her salvation. She told me that she was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. She gave me a clear testimony as any independent fundamental Baptist could possibly give. But yet she didn't live anything like what the Bible says a Christian should. She lived like the world, and those around her were affected by it. And I, as a soul winner, trying to witness to one of my coworkers, had no inroad because the example that had been set before her. What is it that you're building your building, your structure? What is it that you're using? What are you using? If you begin a building and you get the foundation just right, but yet you decide to go ahead and you lay down that base plate and you don't make sure that it has been treated and it's going to be infected by the mold and it's going to begin to break down if it gets wet and it's going to mildew and now it's going to have dry rot. What good? Listen, is that your Christian life? Do you have dry rot all over your Christian life? You've got a wonderful looking roof. Everything looks so nice. Everything looks so clean. Why, you dress just so perfectly. Paint hides a multitude of sins. Yeah. This building is living proof of it. But I wonder about our independent fundamental Baptists. Are we just simply worried about paint and we're not worried about the actual structure underneath of it? Folks, I'm grateful for paint. I mean that. I'm thankful for paint. I'm thankful for those that will say, "Listen, I want to live differently than the world. But if I just live differently from the world and check all the boxes and I have no relationship with my Savior, I'm an empty, hollow structure." Let's not be hollow. Let's not be empty. Let's decide on purpose that we want to be as Christ has told us that we should be. Heads bowed, your eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you would help us this evening. Lord, I pray that you would revive us. Lord, we thank you so much for the fun that we've had this evening. But Lord, now we're talking Scripture, Lord. And dear God, I pray that you would help us to see that all the fun that we might have in the world certainly isn't going to be backed up by Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would help those that maybe this evening, Lord, that maybe they're realizing my life is a hollow shell of what my outside says that I am. Oh, dear Lord, I don't want to run anyone out the door. Dear God, I want to run people to this altar. I want to run people to you, Lord. I want them to look to you and say, "Dear Lord, I'm hollow. I'm empty. I'm a crook, Lord. I look like a wonderful edifice, but Lord, on the inside, I am nothing." Lord, I pray that for that individual, Lord, for those individuals, that they would come to you and they would say, "Lord, please, would you fill me? Would you repair me? And Lord, if need be, would you tear me down so that I can be rebuilt the right way?" This evening, every head's bowed, every eye is closed. How about you tonight? How about you? Are you living the life that God expects you to live? Or are you just kind of going along, putting paint on surfaces so that no one really sees what's on the inside? You know already. You know. You live with yourself. You know if it's just a nice paint job or if it's solid, stable structures. Oh, I pray that you would make that decision tonight. Stand, if you would, to your feet. The piano will begin playing. Oh, would you come this evening? Would you allow God to do a work in your heart? Would you say, "Dear Lord, it's up to you. I cannot do this. And Lord, I'm looking to you." You come as she plays this evening.